I didn't intend it to be a gift as much as I was in front of this question, and I think the question kind of came like this. As a painter, you always wonder if the result of your efforts, like the result would be the canvas, the painting on the wall, is where you really experience the magic of art, or is it in the studio when you feel the sort of the most transcendent kind of experiences, like when you're painting and where the painting is just sort of happening, you're just sort of experiencing it, like painting passing through you. These sort of moments, I think one might call them moments of transcendence, or some people might call it flow, or some people might call it a spiritual or religious experience, will happen in the studio. And you get to experience that when you're the creator, you're the person making the painting so much. And it's why so many people go out and sort of do it. You know, if you wonder why painting's still alive after it was declared dead like 50 years ago, it's because the actual experience of painting is so incredibly rewarding and life-affirming and life-giving in a way. So I had this question. How do you give people who will never have that chance a taste of some part of that magic or some part of that possibility if their life isn't organized in a way for them to see it? I mean, it's so clear if you really are a student of life, we all are in some ways approach our lives or have moments in our lives that are what I might call that moment of transcendence or that artistic flow and stuff. But as a mother, I don't see that. I don't note that in my life. I don't put a flag on it. But an artist might put a flag on it because it might be represented in their painting a little bit. Or maybe I'm the guy that's, you know, cooking at the restaurant, or I'm the guy that's actually organizing the office for, you know, the big meeting and finding out what, you know what I mean? So all these different professions, I think, as human beings, we meet these moments that I would call moments of artistic flow, but we don't know that we have those experiences. But artists get to live in that sort of awareness of it. So my question was, how do I give a taste of this experience to people who never get to pick up a brush? All right? And so I thought, well, I should paint them. Because before I painted Portrait of Macbeth, I used to hire people to come pose for me. And my models will have that experience. We will both sit in this sort of moment of flow. And sometimes my models will be more aware of it happening in the room before I'm aware of happening in the room. And so I thought that if I could let people who would never, ever have the chance to be painted have that experience, maybe that would happen. And I could share that. So they could experience the beauty of creativity, you know, the things that happen inside of that whole watching something go from a blank canvas to a full-on representation of them. I thought that if it was of them, they would be even more involved, right? And so I thought, oh, that might be a way to give people that experience, you know. That was one idea that I had that had me bring it. So it's really complicated. There's so many different lines. So there's one line. And the other line was, I had been painting in different directions, like where I took maybe 2 months to paint a portrait, and the way I painted Portrait of Macbeth was very quick, very fast, all in one setting. It's called an alla prima. That's the name of that approach. And it's a real skill. It's not something you can just do and then walk away from and keep it. It is something that needs to be harnessed, practiced, maintained. You need to meet that sort of focused, fast, quick attention, just making those decisions on a regular basis. Otherwise, you lose it. And I had moved away from that, and I was looking for some sort of project that would help me bring that skill set back up, which sounds like funny, but that I was like, oh, I want to relearn how to paint alla prima again. All right, there was another reason why I wanted to do it. And then another reason why was I was interested in how art affects the community, right? Or does it? I don't know, you know. And how, aside from just like this sort of transcendent experience, if you could bring people into the creative process, but how do we see each other, no matter what your role is in the community, whether you're the person that helps or the person who needs help, both are necessary. Whether you're the person that runs the bank or you're the person that borrows from the bank, you know? Whatever place you are, how everybody plays and serves some sort of role in a community, how if we could see each other as all part of one giant portrait that make us up, I thought that maybe we could sort of see ourselves in our neighbor. And in a way, I see myself and I see my neighbor and have that, I don't know, some way create some sort of a little bit more connection rather than a us and them sort of idea was a little bit what I was hoping for. And another reason why I wanted to do this project is I was turning 40. I was really interested in painting people who were getting older. And I didn't know how to meet them. I was looking for ways to hire, work, paint people who were older as I was getting older. And a lot of models are always younger. And they're like in their 20s and they're going to college and they need some extra money. And so they work for artists and they pose for artists and stuff. But a 20-year-old or 25-year-old person wasn't able to tell my story as I was turning 40. Really wanted to live in people who had time in their bodies and their faces and their minds and hearts, right? I wanted to sort of start to experience more life on the planet. And so I thought that really wanted to paint older women. And there's another question that I was kind of living with, wanting to paint older people. There's also another thing that was happening. I was asked to be in a show up in Dubuque at the Dubuque Art Museum. And the theme of the show was social commentary. And I had been thinking all kinds of ideas. And, you know, a lot of the social commentary, when you have that as a theme, sort of look at your world critically, you know, and you're like, oh, I'll comment on this thing that I have a problem with or that thing I have a problem with. And I had been getting a bunch of really good ideas that way. But some part of them didn't connect enough with all the other questions that were, I was kind of living with at the time. And I was on my way to the grocery store thinking about all these things. Oh, I want to get better at Ava Prima. I want to paint older people. How do you give what you do to your community? How do you help people find this that they too live lives of meaning and value and nobility, even if it doesn't get flagged like with this sort of, you know, you're an artist label, or how do you bring that to your community? And I'm walking to the grocery store, and this is what I was thinking about. I was just really wondering what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, social commentary, and da-da-da-da. And all those questions are kind of going through my brain, and I go through the whole grocery store, and I'm in the checkout line, and I'm standing there, and I look up, and I see all these people around me. There's older people and younger people, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I should paint my neighbors, right? And as soon as I had that thought pop into my head, all of these different questions, and I think there were like at least seven, I've only mentioned four to you, at least seven lines of questions that I've been sort of exploring in my head, all of a sudden they all clicked into this one idea. I will paint my town in one portrait, right? We'll call it Portrait of Maquoketa. I'm going to paint everybody in town and make one painting of it. And it was like, that's it. That's it. And I went home and I was super excited. My social commentary will be democratizing the portrait. You get painted because you're here, right? And the whole idea is you don't have to be anybody important. You just have to have a desire to participate, which I think is really necessary in a democracy, you know? And so we'll democratize the portrait. You bring yourself to it. You show up. You become part of it. And I'll let anybody who wants to be painted, be painted. And so I called my parents up and I asked them, what do you think? They were going to some fundraiser potluck that night. And I said, when you go tonight, ask your friends that you're going to be sitting with at the table if they would be willing to participate in this project, just to get a feeler out. And my folks went, and they called me when they got home, and I said, what did people say? And they said, half the people said they would never let themselves be painted. And when I heard that, I said to myself, oh, okay, so I won't paint all 6,000 Maquoketans. I'll paint 3,000 Maquoketans. And it's kind of funny, because I thought I could paint everybody in town. And then I realized, oh, no, that's not going to happen. And then I started getting more clear and my cut my number down to 2,000 people. And then I had a brother who's more mathematically adept than I, came back from Maquoketa, and he said, do you know how long it'll take you to paint 2,000 portraits? He said, you'll be painting portraits for 4 or 5 years if you do one a day, if you do this. And I'm like, oh, man. So I started looking into a grant. So another friend in the Dubuque show told me that Iowa Arts Council has grants for projects, and she thought that my project could get a grant. And so we downloaded the grant information right away that afternoon after I got the idea at the grocery store, and I started reading what that grant requirements were. And the more I read the grant requirements, the more the project formulated. The grant process was so wonderful in helping the project become more community-centric. Like, it made me say, where would I paint it? How will I serve? How will people be more involved? Deciding to even apply for the grant created, I think, some of the fundamental characteristics of the project that really made it successful, you know. And that was, how's the outreach? How are you going to invite people to do it? Who's going to come in? Who gets to be part of it? Where are you going to do it? And all of that information came within, like, the next 36 hours because the grant was due in 2 days. And so it sort of harmonized my entire project, and all these questions kind of got answered. And even the number of how many portraits I could do, I put in there, and I thought I could do like 500, not really aware that how long 500 would even take me, because I wound up only doing 180 in the year that I spent working on that project, which when people find out that I painted 180 portraits in a year, they're kind of shocked. Artists who find out, they're like, you did 180 portraits in a year? And I'm like, yeah, I know. I thought I could do 500, but I couldn't. It just didn't understand the physics of it, like how physically demanding it would be to paint different people every day, you know, and boom, start fresh, another painting, another painting, another painting, you know. But we did 180 in the year. The grant really helped me. Didn't get the full grant that I applied for. They just gave me like 2/3 of the money that I asked for. But it was enough of a starter, and it was enough of a mental formulation that it really, really was essential. I think without the state of Iowa having that grant process, I don't think this project ever would have come into being. I think it would have fallen apart right in the initial stages. I don't think it would have formulated so quickly and had such a solid beginning. So that's kind of how that project kind of came about.
And the sense of urgency to get this done in just a couple of days, too, that really forced everything to come into focus so quickly.
Right. And your best ideas, really, as an artist, do really kind of, they like drop on your head. I mean, you really feel like you've just been boom. And what I've really learned since Portrait of Maquoketa is when you get a project like that, or even an idea, even if it's for a single painting, when it hits you that strongly, that's one that you really have to turn to. I now know what that feels like and go, boom, that's it, I'm doing this. No matter whether I know how to do it yet or whether it seems impossible, there'll be a way to figure it out, because I read this once, I think it's in that book, that you're never given a wish without the power to make it true. So it's like there's some part of your wishes and your desires are always somewhat in line with your ability to help make it realized. It doesn't mean that some amazing things aren't going to have to happen to make it happen, but, you know, a real wish, there's always the possibility of its realization inside of it. I like that idea, you know. So, and this big clunk of portrait, this that strong impression of inspiration is, now I know, if you really do honor it, it will happen, you know. It can happen. Because that happened on the second part of Portrait of Maquoketa, when the landscape section that I wound up doing 7 years later.